I from? Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Where I from, Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people I from. Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Way I from Baton, bro. Don't take no bantam, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Way I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. True they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason. Only Jah that I believe in, Watch them only pass through for a season. Cutlass, I got weed them. I represent the ghetto people I from. Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. No joke, if you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to another edition of Inside Inner City at Bahamas every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, Scroogie, MP, JP, so many nicknames. It's just a pleasure to be your host on this wonderful Friday. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by PTC, at 422-GR96. And again, it's a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful Friday, and we're going to have a wonderful topic here tonight. Basically, Inside the Inner City is a show that talks about stories that are real, solutions to the country's problem. We also talk about things that, you know, go with a blind eye, but our experience growing up in an inner city community, we are able to bring that to the general public eyes because, you know, if we want to be the change in the country, we have to know where the problems start from, how to solve the problems. And we've been doing that for the last 10 years, I can't believe it, 10 years on Guardian Radio, and I can't believe the response we have been getting from the general public, especially on this platform. But this show is for the Bahamian people. We have a lot of problems in the inner city community that we've been hiding, sugarcoating it. Many people say that more media people needs to have an open mind where we can talk about the problems that are happening in our country, whether it's the prison, whether it's the schools, whether it's politics, whether it's church, you know, whether it's a government agency in the country that, you know, can make improvements, you know. But one thing we'd have to do is we'd have to expose the fault in it and try to make it a transparent organization in the country. And that goes from the hospital, it goes from us in an inner city community, it goes to the police force, it goes to the politics. You know, we have to be able to understand and put the truth where truth supposed to be, and where right supposed to be, and where wrong supposed to be. That's what we are supposed to be doing in the country to make the country a better place. But anyway, like I said, I'm your host, Valentino Braun. I have my good friend, Shaggy Chipman, in the studio tonight. Introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah. Pleasant good evening to be here and to be a part of this amazing radio show, as usual. One of the most amazing shows to come out of the inner city, and to shed light on what's happening in the inner city, the wins, the victories, the defeats, the failures, all of the above. But it is good that we have someone in Radio Land with a voice like Valentino Braun to highlight these things and bring them to the forefront so that we can have a straightforward conversation, you know what I mean, on the things that hurt the inner city for, and the things that can help to build the inner city. But thank you once again, and it's indeed a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, you know. And sometimes, you know, I like to bring on people from the inner city, community-minded persons who have insights about their country and their community, and also doing great work in the country as well. So from time to time, you know, it's my job to bring you guys in studios and talk about your programs and stuff like that. Let's hear a little bit of your background, right? That you've been doing for the last, 15, 20 years in your community.
Okay. Growing up in the inner city, you know, most would think that everybody would miss the streets, you know what I mean? There's things that most kids look for in the inner city simply because they grew up in either single family homes, single mother homes, single dad homes, you know, where kids are left to fend for themselves in most cases. The streets are there, and the streets provides you with plenty of things. Access, approval, and you know what I mean? These are the things that we look for, vices, values, and virtues, and we look for these things in the streets. And I realized 16, 17 years ago that my involvement in the street with friends and all of the above was tearing down my community. And I wanted to figure out what it is that I could do to help build my community rather than tear it down. So I started getting involved in Junkanoo, which I grew up in the house with my dad, John Shipman, the cultural icon, you know, getting involved in different organizations. And to this day, I'm a part of 13 organizations in the executive of all. That includes 3 disabled organizations, spokesperson for 1 or 2 of them. You know, I believe in using these organizations and introducing them to the core neighborhood so that we can all create programs to build better inner city communities, give the kids opportunities, programs, and all of the above to kind of take the next generation away from the streets. And one of the programs that I created, along with Bahamas Football Federation, Bahamas National Football Federation, was the Inner City Grassroots Program, soccer program, which is different from which most inner city youths know. Because, you know, they do a lot of track and field, they do a lot of swimming, they do a lot of baseball, they do a lot of basketball. And this was kind of a little different. It was introduced to the inner city, and it was very successful. A lot of them went on to join other clubs. You know, they were kids, so this was a next generation program. And we just wanted to introduce it to the kids, and, you know, it was well attended. Most of the kids are now into actual soccer clubs. So this was kind of like a training camp, you know what I mean? And the response we got was unexpected. But because it was something new and the kids liked it and the Federation was able to provide us with balls and uniforms, the kids felt like they were a part of something now. So they were dressed in uniforms, and based on their age, they had colors. So, you know, every morning they would come out and they would, every Saturday, they want to show off their colors. They want to show their parents that they are part of something. So it was a huge success, man.
Wow, that's amazing. You're doing terrific stuff, you know, especially in the country. Tell me something. When you're talking about program, why do you think the kids need programs in the country today? Right at their doorsteps.
See, now, if we're speaking about the inner city, mm-hmm. which we're actually pointing fingers at, as a community leader, mm-hmm. from one community leader to another.
That's me.
Okay, from one community leader to another, why we need one community leader to another from the inner city? Why do we need programs? Because if we don't create programs, and that's the bottom line, whether it's a band with instruments, kids love that, basketball programs, baseball programs, soccer programs, volleyball programs, any program that's athletic, they're going to get together. Sometimes I drive around the inner city and I see kids in packs of 7s and 8s and 9s and 10s.
What's the age bracket?
Anywhere from 6 to 13. Uh-huh. And they roam in the streets together at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the night.
You're talking foolishness, man. Most people wouldn't believe what you're saying.
I know
these things is true, but most people who listen to the radio, listen to this program right now would not believe that.
But that's the thing. Hence the reason why you're the voice of the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
We need that. We need an outlet to come and share.
That's right.
The experiences for these kids. You know, and there are people out there that want to help and do things, and they want to know who they can come and see. Come and see Mr. Scrooge, Valentino Brown. Come and see myself, Cheyenne Chipman. You know what I mean? We are community leaders that welcome outside entities that want to help us to build a better community.
Yeah, you're so right, my brother. Let me also ask you a question. Do you believe how we're facing, like, we're in the 70s with murders right now, okay? Domestic, gang violence, then we have some dealing matters concerning government agencies in the country. Do you believe that all of this has an impact? Because, I mean, all of this has an impact on the mindset of kids in the community?
Well, when we think of kids, remember, they're looking for approval.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for access. And they want to know that they can go to the streets and get it. So they're oblivious to what's happening outside of them. But again, the streets are right there. And the streets will adopt them quicker than anything else. They say, there's a saying, you know, if you feed a dog, you know, the stray dogs come to your yard and you feed them for 3 days straight. You've given these kids something that they're not getting at home. One of the greatest programs introduced by the current prime minister, and I got to thank him for that. It's as small as it may seem, it's a huge ripple effect. Mm-hmm. It's the breakfast program in the primary schools.
Yeah, that was most needed.
Because you know how many students go to school without breakfast in the morning? Just because their mothers still want to get them an education, they send them to school without breakfast, without lunch, just hoping that, you know, it's kind of like shooting a Hail Mary and
hundreds,
hoping it drops.
Hundreds. And then not only that, if you look at their shoes, their shoes attire, some holy boys, some kids wearing uniform from Monday straight to Friday, only have one shirt and one pants, you know? It's be disturbing sometimes, you know, I'd be dropping people to and fro from school. And then, you know, I look at some of the kids, and this is not discriminating, just what I'm seeing from my eyes. And, you know, and sometimes I just look at them, you know, close, is wrinkly. You know,
the funny thing about that is this. You know why your eyes are open to that? Because as a community leader, you live that.
Hmm.
You're not on the outside looking in and making an assumption or making, you know, okay, this is what. Live that every day. You get to see that every day. You stand up on your block and you can see kids passing you.
Shade wrinkly. Same shade.
You understand what I'm saying? Shoes from last year, if that is. So my thing is, your eyes are open to the reality of the inner city. And here's another thing, and I'm going to touch on every time we speak on something, I want to say something about what this government is doing.
Mm.
The government raised minimum wage, which was huge. Then you have those who are making thousands and probably, you know, hundreds of thousands, and maybe those who are making millions, they're the ones complaining, oh, minimum wage, but you're making thousands and hundreds of thousands in profit. In profit, mind you.
Yes.
Now, they're thinking about a livable wage. When you find a government that is interested in helping the small man, you cannot help but to pay attention to what it is that they're doing as a community leader.
Yeah.
And you and I have to see the daily struggles in the inner city.
Yes, yes.
I'm not talking, I used to live there. You're not talking, you
no,
used
still
to live there.
There. I still live there.
We still live there.
I still live in the street. I can't go nowhere.
You understand what I mean? And again, like you, my nickname is MP, Minister.
Yeah, we have so many different names.
You understand
people
what I'm saying?
People, as we walk in, people call us those.
But that's because your presence is felt because of the work that you continue to do.
That is true. That is true.
Here it is now. God bless you with another platform to really put the voice out there to many ears.
For the people in the city community and not so large.
You understand? Your blessing, bro?
Yeah.
My blessing is I like to figure out what's the next organization I could join to find out how we could help some children, how we could help some seniors. I have a list of seniors and I have people that come in once a month or every other month and they want to bring soup, salads, healthy stuff. I just go, I take 50 in Centerville, I take the next 50 in Bain and Grandstand in my zone.
Yeah, you brought them to me a few times as well.
So my thing is, I am happy to connect with people that want to do things in the inner city because a lot of people don't know or don't have anyone to connect with. There's a believe it or not, for those of you that are out there listening, there's a Valentino Scrooge Brown in Lewis Street that understands that whole border. Not just Taylor Street to Lewis Street. I'm talking on both sides. That whole zone. Anything you want to do in that area, anything, any particular group of people that you want to help with is teen boys, young kids, adults, seniors, mothers, single mothers, abused mothers, and sometimes abused men.
A lot of abused men.
You understand what I'm saying? So, no, abused mothers. So my thing is, any genre of people, you could call on a Scrooge Brown to do that. You could call on a Cheyenne Chipman to do that. The thing about it is I study what the government is doing because I need to know where they're at when it comes to helping the small man.
Where the opportunities lie.
So now they're thinking and considering, you know.
Adding the program.
Adding on to the minimum wage to make it livable wage. And most people don't want to hear that. Most business owners don't want to hear that. But people have to live. In the inner city, the average family spends on $250 per week on grocery. Some mothers have 6 and 7 kids that have to take care of those kids on their own. Hence comes in the struggle.
Yeah.
And some men, and here's the joke. Some men wonder why women can't love nowadays. They cannot love because they grew up in the struggle. So the only thing they know how to do is survive.
So it's survival for the fittest now.
That's it's survival to the fittest. It's like a jungle out there.
Yeah.
And we become what? The animals in the jungle.
And we tear up one another.
And we take, listen, you know our worst enemies are? It's ourselves.
Yeah, we fight. All right. There's a phrase saying that no one can beat the United States. The only way you're going to beat the United States is beat them in within civil war. So countries that are great, if you look at all countries that were great, they were really not defeated. They got defeated by corruption and fight amongst themselves. You see?
Here's a prime example. The Roman Empire.
Inside.
They imploded.
They killed Julius Caesar and after that.
It was continuous chaos. Yes. So the mindset of the people in the inner city is a mindset of that one, that struggling. You can do something for this one today and this one is upset with you. You know, so my thing is, another reason why, you know, and I'm happy that you're giving me the platform to talk about it. Another reason why I'm proud of our current prime minister and his executive, because of the things that he's boldly doing. One of the initiatives, along with Minister Pierrot, was to hire 50 disabled people. You know, I think we may have touched on it before.
Yeah, I like to hear about that.
The thing about it is no one has ever done it before. It's like,
the only country dealing with disabled is China. China has the disabled people watching all the cameras in the cities, and they monitor the cameras. Disabled people.
China created something for them.
Yes.
So now, here it is.
And they don't miss nothing.
This government.
Surveillance.
This government was bold enough. Mm-hmm. Let me call the names.
Go ahead.
The Prime Minister, Philip Edward Davis, Minister Pierrot, mm-hmm. and Minister Fred Mitchell, mm-hmm. who was at that time Minister of Labor.
Okay.
And she was Minister of State of Labor.
Okay.
She took the initiative, she took the lead on that project, and she asked, let's hire 50 disabled people. And I was never so elated. Go ahead.
And not to say, cutting you off, you know, it's the reason why I touched base with him to come on the show today. I don't have no guests, you know, and I don't want to do solo today, so he said, let me have someone who is doing positive stuff. He just talked about disabled, right? And how the government hires 50 disabled people, right? Here's the thing. Last week, I told y'all about the tourism industry, right? And there's a problem by the straw market with the competition. We have 9.7 million customers. And we still can't be able to make it ends meet with all the vendors. They're competing against one another. They have to take days off so that they can accompany a few of them so that they can make a few dollars. What is the problem? The guests don't want to leave the cruise ship. They want to just go in the port that we built, or the guests don't want the stuff they're selling, you know, because they're not authentic being and stuff. But the disabled people, what I saw with my own eyes, the disabled people make some of the best straw bags, slippers, whatever you can possibly imagine. I'm talking like pop, like they come with the factory. So I'm encouraging persons who are in the tourism ministry to go by the disabled. I can't remember which disabled organization.
It's right across from Stapleton. I think it's the Disabled Persons Organization.
Disabled Persons Organization.
If I'm not mistaken.
And you see the authentic payment stuff.
Disabilities Unlimited, I think.
Listen, y'all go check it out. I'm telling y'all vendors, if you want authentic payment, I talk about genuine stuff, go check those disabled people out, how they do their tourism product. That's just a point I want to knock on.
Go ahead. they are very good with craft. They're very good with a lot of things. Given the opportunity, most cases, when I was putting the 50 together, a lot of them thought that they would never get an opportunity, especially the ones that were blind.
Wow.
You know, and it took about maybe 2 months to really get things together before they placed them. So, you know, everybody was excited, but they were discouraged at the same time because it has been so long that they've had any kind of opportunity or anyone even knock on their door to give them an opportunity that they didn't believe that it would happen. And when it happened, it was like fireworks. They couldn't believe that this government was bold enough to take that opportunity.
Oh, but you know what you just said just now? That's what I've been telling people. Say that what you said just now. Say, even though it was happening, the disabled people, for so long they wanted something to happen. They kind of lost their self-esteem or their desire. Now that it's happening, they still can't believe it's happening.
They still can't believe that it's happening.
Now, this is why a lot of behemoths today in the country don't want to go work now, because they have lost the opportunity.
They've lost their drive.
They've lost their drive. That's why you're seeing so many young men and so many young ladies on the streets now are kind of lost and making the wrong decision in our country now because they don't have the mindset on how they're going to build a bright future. I'm glad you said that. That's what is happening in our country right now with the mindset.
But watch this. Here's also something that we have to be very careful of. There's a story. It said that, you know, this prime minister is always willing to help. Yes. You'll hear someone say, I'm voting for this person no more, but only because of the prime minister. Mm-hmm. That's because he's never stopped caring for the people.
He has a good eye.
So my thing is, you know, a lot of people asked him, you know, when he came in, they wanted jobs. He got them jobs paying more than jobs in the hotels paying more than what government was paying at the time. A lot of them quit their jobs. Oh, Mr. Prime Minister, I didn't like that man. I want something in government. Because of the mindset that government don't put in much work. But these people are working and working diligently and hard to keep this government flowing like a well-oiled engine. The thing about it, these people, now this would have been a better approach to the Prime Minister. Mr. Prime Minister, that's not my thing. I'm going to do it.
That's my field.
I'm going to do it
for now
until you get me something to do. Don't quit and then expect him to then find you something else.
And then
you're mad. Then you're upset with him because he has a country he's trying to fill. He cannot micromanage the country.
No.
He'll do his best to help. So I am grateful for a prime minister that is bold enough. Watch this. Here's another scenario. You know, we're not here to talk about the government, but as it integrates into what affects the inner city.
It has to be.
I can tap onto certain things. The prime minister, Pinlin said it best, former prime minister Lyndon Pinlin. If you don't fight for your country, I want you to finish the rest.
No? You don't deserve it.
You don't deserve it.
You don't deserve it.
So now, we as a country, when this government came in, they came into a deficit. So I pay attention to these things because as a community leader, the most affected people live where I live.
Yeah.
So they were in a deficit. That means 100, you could only have 100% credit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you borrow beyond that, when you 5% over 100, that's a deficit. You got to now build from that. Now, the deficit is to what? Maybe 79, 78. With the little that they had, they've turned this country around. The agreements, for me, I'm excited because so many people are now benefiting. So any profit this government make, they take it and they give it, and they're giving promotions here, left, right, and center. And these are the people that live amongst me. So when they are happy and they're quiet, I can breathe a little because as a community leader, you always hear the cries of people.
They never go away.
They never go away, especially not for the inner city. And let me tell you something. as a spokesperson, you know, and being a part of several different organizations that are physically challenged, I'm an executive in the Action Club of the Kiwanis, you know, Bahamas National Council for People with Disabilities, which is the umbrella group for them. Mm-hmm. You know, my thing is, you have to consider the 10% that are physically challenged in this country. And this is a physical challenge, meaning disabled mm-hmm. or disability. Now, what we don't realize is that disability is just not the man that's amputated, no. stroke recovery, blind, deaf, wheelchair bound. This is not the only people, or bedridden from old age. These are not the only people that are disabled. You have people that are financially disabled. You have people that are
spiritually disabled,
spiritually disconnected and disabled. It's a lot of mental issues out there, which we cannot see. And because we cannot see them, that means they're not disabled. Mm-hmm. So the 10% that I named off, let's just say there's 400,000 people in here. There's 40,000 people that we can see that's disabled. The rate or the amount or the percentage is greater than that. Mm. There's a 20% to 25% on top of that 40% with challenges that we cannot see.
Yeah, because we're not monitoring the community. We don't have no eyes. We don't have no ass. We're just running the country, but we're not paying attention to the signs.
Why you are able to see the bigger pictures, because you live smack in the middle of the inner city.
Yeah,
most people, they only have a disabled family member, so they can focus on that one thing. You have to focus on a community. Yeah. I have to focus on a community. And I'm not being paid for this. I chose to do this for the love of this.
That's your calling.
You understand me?
That's your calling.
And I must give it to a Mr. Jumo Campbell, Minister of Agriculture, for taking his ministry and creating programs into the inner city, one including the backyard farming, self-sustainability. We have to consider this, because guess what? A lot of things that go on in the community is a community problem. The first thing that happens in the community, we want to call the police, right? Mm-hmm. But we condemn them so much. We cannot... If there's a rotten apple, what do? Remove it from the bunch because it will spoil the bunch.
Yep.
That's it. You don't condemn the whole bunch.
No.
If one coconut rotten, you take that one coconut, throw that aside, and you keep your bunch, or one banana, you keep your bunch.
If you don't, right? If that one that you do not move, just is like one ripe banana, and that's that rotten. And you don't move it, what happens? It goes on to the next one.
It grows.
Slowly spread. It don't go all at once, then it go to the next one. Then that whole bunch eventually would be rotten. Start off from that one.
So you have one poison, that banana that's being spoiled, that's the banana of what? Influence.
Yeah.
So you have one spoiled influence in the inner city on these children. They only need $50.
Could change the dynamics of the community.
And they go and buy $50 with a firecracker. So you think the children with ain't got no firecrackers can't go follow?
That same one with the 50.
So access, approval, and these are the things that grant these kids. These kids are looking for access.
So go ahead.
I'm listening.
See, and what we're trying to explain to the general public, right, is that when you're looking at your country from the directory of 70-plus murders already so far for the year, and I want to encourage the rest of the Bahamians who live in this country that you have the life and death in your hands. If you go to the nightclub, you have an argument with somebody, please walk away. You know, and you can't say anything to be you. You will see the country as an example, because if you look at it basically, it's either domestic, or either it's gang-related, or either it's a relationship problem where someone just gets mad and lose their way because there are a lot of angry people in the country. So if you're in an environment where you're around with somebody and you feel that you get too hot, try your best to walk away. And like I said, it's very difficult to walk away. Listen, man, it's very difficult, you know. It takes a real, real man, and it takes a real, real woman to walk off from a confrontation and don't come back. You understand? Because you're thinking about the consequences. A lot of people nowadays, they don't think about the consequences. They get in a row. They get agitated. And like Mr. Chipman is saying, You know, they have lost their way. They're frustrated. They're stressed out. So once, immediately they get mad, the first thing they want to do, I going for my gun. All right? Or I going for my knife. But they're going for that gun. And they're going to run to a friend with a gun. And the friend is not even going to ask them, but what you going to do with this gun, you know? And they're going to go to their friend, and the friend is going to come with them, and they're going to do this act. And then, look, tomorrow, they be behind bars. Not even 48 hours. So people are not thinking straight, so I'm advising you, you know, try and make the best decision as possible and save your life, you understand? Because the next victim could be you. You can't say it can't be you. 71 behemoths have already been buried this year or will be buried, you know, understand? And all because of violent crime, you know, and it's very sad in our country. So all of this we're talking about now is ways to prevent these tragic events that happen in the country. Because, Mr. Chipman, I'm going to say this. You know that they're saying that the tourists that visit our shores, which are actually guests, they say they want to stay on a cruise ship, right? Do you know that the Bahamas has lost basically entertainment because of the destruction we as Bahamian youngsters, male and female, has caused around the nightclubs, around the parties we used to have? You know, we used to have numerous parties in the inner city community. We used to go around to the nightclubs, and us who messed up every time we go to the nightclub, we would shoot the place up or kill somebody. Now we basically closed down all the nightclubs. And even the nightclubs that are open now, they're always having shooting scenes because the people who come to the club, they don't come to the club to party. They come to the club to hurt somebody. So you can't even go to these local clubs to even enjoy yourself now because of the violent crime that is happening in our country. So that's why we have to start this program, where we can get the Bahamas to be a place of peace and beauty again, where we can go around to these backyard parties we used to have and all of the local bars, and, you know, we used to be open. You could just walk from one bar to the next bar. You know, there was so much different activities, and that's why it's so boring now, you know, because we ourselves as Bahamians have deteriorated, and we're having too much murders in this country and too much violent crime.
Where do we start when it comes to reform, rebuilding, refreshing, rebooting, rejuvenating what has been lost from the times you and I were young boys?
I think it's about developing the communities in the right way and building the family structures back up again. That deals with empowerment, education.
Here's another avenue. And it's as hard as it is for me to say these words out of my mouth. We are hardly a nation of second chances.
Yes.
But one of the programs that national security is creating is a second chance program. And I love it because
I could comment on that.
This is one of the major things that has destroyed Amman. Amman have a cigarette joint, and he gets charged with that. That stays on his record, but we know he's going to go before the court. It's going to be on his record for a very long time. It's going to show on his record. And who is our number one industry for a young man to go and work? Tourism. So this one thing hinders him. So we're telling him, we don't want you to change your life. We want you to remain a criminal. But here again, it is this government is taking the bold steps to create a program, and there's some people that don't want that to happen.
What you call it?
The second chance program.
And the deals for giving people
and the expungement program.
Now, let me just say this, Mr. Chipman. That second chance is a brilliant plan, and that's one of the number one solutions to the country's problem. Listen. That program right there has been in existence. Me and Lady Sharon Wilson, the wife of Sir Frankie Wilson, did that program 15 years ago by the PLP headquarters on Second Chance, dealing with marijuana possession, dealing with small business. These were the points as a private consultant and a free consultant. I was invited to speak at the PLP's branch. At the time, she was the chairwoman of the women's branch of the Progressive Liberal Party.
Very powerful, right? Women, I know.
And she asked these particular questions, and these questions were put forward, and I gave some of the answers to the question, and it made sense to her because we explained to her about getting a police record. We explained about how there's no unemployment in the community and we have to develop some type of way to empower people in the community with small businesses and stuff like that. So Lady Cheryl Wilson was the one who initiated the Second Chance Program. That is in the format of the PLP. See, this is the thing what I don't like about government, okay? These programs, they keep on introducing, have already been introduced. Even as far as the Urban Design Lab, we did that in 2013 under Mr. Christie, all designed to empower the people in the inner city community. Housing, create small businesses, green spaces, reap the community, and stuff like that. So we have these programs. This government has the program. The only problem is, how are they going to enforce the program now? Second Chance is one of the number one program we need in the community because it deals with marijuana decriminalization. It deals also with empowering the people. See, these, the programs, Rachel, could change the dynamics. The only thing is, like I said, both of these came under the PLP. We have to be continuous, continuous, continuous. Go ahead, my brother. It's
one of the issues that we face today.
Continuous.
I'm talking with me as a Bahamian, so I include myself in it.
Yes.
We don't continue great programs because one government decides that this program is good. The next government decides that we're going to cut that because that's not something that we created. We're not going to continue to make shed light on something that they did good so that they can have something, a talking point or a conversation piece. We're going to cut that. But here it is. The boldness of this government here.
I love the Second Chance.
Minister Wayne Monroe, with the approval of the current leader, the Prime Minister, Philip Edward Davis, is to go ahead, create the boards for the expungement, put back the prerogative board of mercy. When I say put them, get them in action, get them going. We need to give people, and then whether this may sound bad to some people, and people, jail is not a hotel. No, it's not, but it's a place where people can go to be rehabilitated. And if we don't think that that's the right approach to take, then we're in trouble because we're creating criminals because they're going to go in there, the thieves, the rapists, the murderers, the drug dealers, the crooks, however you want to put it, the robbers, you name it. And they're going to come out with university degrees in criminal activities. But if we don't put a new prison there, we're not asking you to give them a state-of-the-art prison with a movie theater and a swimming pool. We have to put a new prison there to accommodate the prisoners, rehabilitate those that can be, and create programs in the prison.
You want to see, there was a young gentleman who just recently came out of prison. And, you know, he is not a criminal. He just had a bad stunt, right? He was on Facebook. And he's doing well for himself. He's doing well for himself, Mr. Chipman. And he talk about the conditions of the prison, right? And now you saying that there are most people out there might don't like what you're saying when you're talking we need a new prison and you know, you know, theater. But let me explain something to the general public out there. Can't we see by now that if we look and listen to the news, right? We have armed prison officers up by the prison, right? But crime still is going on by the prison. Phones are in the prison. Hey, the other day when I looked on the news, they were talking about they find 67 phones, how much marijuana they find. They find knives and stuff that, like that in prison. They also was finding prison officers who were smuggling drugs into prison. So what Chipman is saying is this. We also have hits coming out of prison because the phones are in prison, okay? We have powerful people that are in prison who would take advantage of the weak in order for them to get their message out or to send a message to somebody out there in the inner city community. In order to reduce coming into prison, we're going to define programs, like Chipman said, get ahead of the problem. But we must always remember that the prison as it stands now is a hellhole, and all it is doing is getting a lot of young men them rougher, rougher, and rougher. And we must remember that 90% of the inmates will come out of prison one day, male and female, okay? So all we're doing is making them rougher and rougher. We're giving them more education because when they go up to prison, they're going to learn a lot of stuff. And once they get used, they know how the prison system run. They know it's corrupted, okay? And then it's going to be a burden for
the people. The Bahamian people.
The Bahamian people.
Again, like my brother, my good brother, saying if we don't create programs, give these people opportunities to integrate themselves back into the community as productive citizens, we're telling them we need you to stay criminals so that the cycle could continue.
And they'll be on your doorstep.
And they're going to be, eventually it's going to come knocking to your door. You understand? So my thing is, another thing that plagues the inner city, we as inner city leaders, you know, we see the crime in the inner city. We have to remember that's not a government problem. The government didn't create crime. The people in the inner city facilitate crime. Mothers, family members, friends, they know what's going on. They know what's happening until it knocks on their door and then everybody has a good son. But let me tell you, this is the real world we're living in. If you take that path is going to take you. And as a community leader,
you want to provide better opportunities.
I want to provide better opportunities for the people in my surrounding.
So they don't have to think about that type of lifestyle.
Again, this tourism minister is an amazing minister, our deputy prime minister, Mr. Chester Cooper. Because the more tourists you can, he's out there battling the battle, the good battle, and the more choice, the more these people can be creative.
You knocked the nail right on the head. Now, last week, I was having this conversation. Again, this is my number one solution to my community's problem when it comes to unemployment, you know, when it comes to high unemployment. I always said this from when I was a little boy. You know, your father prospered off the tourism industry, your late great father.
Yes.
Many of the John Canoe leaders, Willa Francis, Gus Cooper, all of these great leaders. You know, Barabbas now is having a career by his spot Rachel on the side of Guardian. You know, he have a volume, and he's not on Bay Street. He's here on Nassau Street. Rachel on top
of
the hill.
And he has an amazing John Canoe Museum.
And he has an amazing John Canoe Museum.
And that can be replenished every year.
And this goes to say, he makes money off tourism. You know, taxi drivers pull up there on a regular basis by Barabbas. The country's future is in the tourism industry. Many of these people who are unemployed in these communities, if they was able to learn trades, and if we as community, our residents, were able to develop the community, so the community till 5 o'clock, till we could get it together and they could start staying overnight in the Airbnbs and stuff like that, you know the kind of money we can make, generate from around 7 o'clock to 5 o'clock? In the inner city community, Mason Edition, Hay Street, Danton, a little further up in these inner city communities, because there are so many different trades that can generate out of the tourism industry. Now, mind you, we have 9.7 customers, not visitors, customers coming to our shores. And if we could find a way how we can chip in and make it a small business investment in an inner city community, we'd see a rapid change in the community. Because I'm honestly telling you, Mr. Chipman, we are about the sixth most expensive place to live in the world. We are one of the most richest Caribbean countries on the western side of the hemisphere. But yet still, we have a lot of unemployment in our country.
Hence why, the reason why we have to create things to be self-sustainable.
That's right.
Including, you know, it takes nothing to create a little backyard farm. And agriculture is doing that. They're creating programs for us and giving out the little backyard starter kits.
Yes.
Go ahead, you were going to say.
So, agriculture is the next thing that also ties into tourism, because the fruits and vegetables, watermelon, pineapples, the dillies and the melons we grow.
The mangoes and all of the above.
And
you know, all of these things create platforms for you to tie in. All of these ministries tie. Tourism brings the tourists. You go out there, you got dudes out there now renting chairs.
I see.
That's a business. They make it. They walk on
$400,
$500, $600, $700,
$800 a day. Yep.
Now you got dudes renting umbrellas.
I see. On the beach floats. I see them on the beach and they're asking.
Now you got dudes walking up and down. They got a little stall. They selling their little sky juice.
Yes.
They got
sugar cane, my boy. Sugar cane. Amin Burrows. Amin Burrows, who's on the show.
Yes.
With a sugar cane.
He's a farm. He's
on Sandy's Beach, right?
Yes. He is producing sugar cane, and now he's producing some of the healthiest juices around.
And he was Rachel on the show.
So guess what? My thing is, there are opportunities you have to create. You have to get.
And let me tell you, Mr. Burrows, he keep on trying and trying and trying. He's a farmer, and he inherited from his grandfather. And he keep on trying and trying and trying. Then when I look on Facebook, he got his cane thing. And guess what? He is neat, he's clean, and now he's making an honest living right there on Sandy's Beach.
And see, the thing about it is, Minister Jumo Campbell,
mm-hmm.
is thinking outside of the box. When you're handed a platform, you now have to think, what could I do that creates a platform? Just recently, they had the Fish Fry Festival.
That's Sunday or Monday? Monday? Yeah, Monday gone.
Yeah, Monday gone. And my thing is, they bought out the chickens. They bought out stuff from them. They bought out the people that created products from peppers to juices to fresh fruits. And I'm talking about these are homegrown organic stuff. And they were there in this little festival with music and so forth. So there's things that you can create to bring out and help people promote their brand and their product.
And like you said, you know, the guy who did Switcher. It's a BMN guy, I think, is who did Switcher.
Of course, that's a BMN brand.
And he started off with
you know what he started off with? A little cart.
Mm.
And maybe at like 100, and then they allowed him to go on the Prince George Walkway, yeah, on the walkway. That's where he started. Now he's in every gas station.
Yeah. And every...
We have ideas and ideas that can float around, but we have to know how to buy Bahamian. Watch this now. As of recently, Bahamians are now learning to appreciate Bahamian music.
Yes.
Because you would have a Bahamian concert and nobody would chill.
Mm.
You know, so my thing is, you got to be able to be creative. Get your creative juices going. The people are out there flowing. Now you got Rasta right there on the beach, just as you're turning up the hill for Fish Fry on the Western Esplanade. He's selling coconut.
Yeah, selling coconut. And my two little friends.
You understand what I'm saying? Pryor. That's his name. Live to Ross Corner.
That's Pryor?
That's Pryor, yeah.
That's Pryor. Cryer.
Yeah, that's important. You know, so my thing is...
That was the one who used to sing it.
No. Yeah, yes.
That's the one who used to sing. Yes, that's the
reggae artist.
Yeah.
So we have to get to the point where we start creating things. There's not going to be someone to hold your hand or hand you anything all times. We have to create.
And that's why community leaders come in handy. That's why I'm going into small business development. This is my final stage now. I'm going into small business development. Like, I'm going to my restaurant, and I want to establish 20 small businesses, poisons, in that community. See, you can't do too much because you have to pay attention to the set who are serious and committed and help them develop, because you don't want to rush yourself into it. You want to train them for 1 year so that you make sure you teach them about money management, you teach them about honesty, you teach them about how to deal with your client and your customers, how to also deal with your workers, you know, and also how to help them climb, you know, because you could help people as you become successful as a business owner. And then if they be working for you for like 10 years, you can start saying to yourself, you know what, you've been a good employee to me. You know, I made so much money. I say I could help you get your house that I'm going to sign for it. And if you would like to, on the side, help you with your small business now.
Watch this. Well, I want to piggyback on that, and that is so important. A lot of people are, what I want to say, hands-on. Mm-hmm. You know, you got people that can be very productive, but being hands-on, you don't have everybody with the mental capacity to be the smartest person in the room. But then you ever hear the term book smart, and then you hear the term street smart?
Yes.
There's a complete difference, and you can be great at both.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, if we create programs, right now there's a program getting ready to be put in place by the National Men's Branch of the PLP that's going to bring BTVI together, the training agency,
mm-hmm.
the SBDC, who creates small
business
loans.
And that's my good friend, Samantha Rule.
Samantha Rule. She's an amazing, amazing
chairman. She is the one who worked with me on the Urban Design Lab we did in 2013. So that's why I'm saying I'm setting it up.
So my thing is, I have to get to know all of the players, because I want to be able to push 10 or 20 to 30 people from my zone,
yeah,
and 10 or 20, 30 people from the different zone to go along with the hundreds of people that they already have.
Yeah.
So the chairman of the National Men's Branch, Mr. Joe Johnson,
is
working alongside his first vice and Mr. DeVilma and his treasurer, Mr. A. Poitier. And the rest of the executives, they play a heavy role in this, putting this program together. And this program is going to be amazing, because this is going to give them the training agency to give them the avenues they need to give them the avenues and the network. And for those that want to create businesses that can be funded or can be awarded grants, You can go through Samantha Roll, and again, she's an amazing person.
She is the nicest place, one of the nicest places in the world. She's the right person
that,
for the
that load of weight, with that much trying to create programs and take people on that has programs that she can give grants to, you would find that she's so easy to get along with.
Yes.
So as a community leader, I have to touch base with these people and with these ministries.
And get information to the people in the inner city community.
Information, because as long as I can disseminate information, look at here is when they're having these legal clinics and so forth. I need to get as much people to these legal clinics to find out how they can help themselves, because people are sitting waiting to be helped, but they don't know what to do or don't know what to go. So it's my job to, I'm a sponge. Let me say that, Mr. Brown. I'm a sponge. So I absorb all of these things and I absorb them from the right people. Okay, that's what you're all having? Okay, now it's my job to go on the ground.
And bring it in the city community. That's why it's so important to be a partner with government, you know, so that you can get the information that's available and bring it to the people.
You hear me talking about specific ministries because they're doing specific things.
Yes.
And it's important as a community leader to be a partnership with these government agencies and know what they're doing, how they're doing, and how you can help to help your community.
Look how much board meeting you're on together. You know, we're on this, you're on the same board, we're on the
that's my neighborhood thing.
Watch,
you know why?
We're on
with presidents in the neighborhood watch, urban renewal, we're advisors there. My thing is, I am there because I want to know what they have available, what's going on in each one of these.
So
how can it benefit? Or which part of the zone that I am in could benefit from it?
Because a lot of people would say government ain't doing nothing for the people, but yet they still have a small business department that's telling people if they want to come with a business plan and you want to start small businesses, this is the procedure. But many people, like you said, how you said earlier, you know, their spirits are being broken. You understand? So unless we bring it, we take it to them. So if we who are community leaders, live in the community, have that information, have our meetings where we have our eats and drinks, and then we provide those information, provide the proper...
Information.
And let you go from there. Let you decide.
It's also like the spoiled banana. Right back to the spoiled banana. That's the information that spreads. You can spread good information or you can spread bad information. So it's about... into the public so that they can know what's going on, because I will sit in a hot spot. And as a community leader, I go and sit with the old people. I go and sit with the gang members. I go and sit with the gang leaders. I go and sit with them all. You know why? Because I need to know what's going on with them. How could I interject? You know, again, they're looking for access, acceptance,
so it ain't what
and
people
approval.
Think. See, we live in the inner city community. That's why I'm poised to talk about safety and security when it comes to letting the tourists come in the inner city community. People don't understand that Bahamian people are very respectful to the tourists that comes to our shore, that the guests that comes to our shore. Because don't mind those guys with the bad and all those stuff. They ain't so bad if you really sit down and talk to them. If you was in a position of power and you was able to provide an opportunity them to make better decisions, and you could guide them in the right direction, we won't have all this chaos we have in this country today. That's why it's important that we build up the communities. That's why it's important that we have community leaders, even though they could be a part of a political party. Some is going to not be a part of a political party, but they just want to be there and get the information that they receive from whatever party comes to power and take it to the Bahamian people and apply it, and don't be biased. With the information, don't be biased with the small business loans. Don't be biased and say this one is an FNM. I don't want to talk to them, or this one's a PLP. I have a problem. No, you got to take that out your mind and say, "I'm a Bahamian citizen."
My thing is, you know, this prime minister. At some point, you know, people try to condemn him because
condemn him. How you mean condemn him?
Why I say that? He's not a prime minister for PLPs. He's a prime minister for Bahamians. His job is to take care of a country.
That's what the job is supposed to be. As
you
a
understand
prime
me?
Minister.
So he looks out for everybody. Now, he is a PLP.
Yeah.
Because and that's priority. But Bahamians first.
After the three and a half years, you then know, you can start though.
You can do whatever you want to do. But I'm saying as this prime minister is bold enough to... I support this prime minister. You know why?
He's a calm prime. He's a calm
man. Because this man went to United Nations and told them we cannot take on the plight of our family and cousins from the south.
Yeah.
We already a country fighting the burden, to stay afloat.
With our citizens.
What we already have here. The people that we have here and who we have to deal with here. We cannot take on the burden of another country. And it's only fair that he fight for the Spamian people. But you know what? And here's another topic. The Grand Bahama Port Authority. They've been getting away with
murder
for so long that it has become
normal
common for them.
It's normal.
Normal. It's what you call something that they do on the daily. This prime minister stood up to them and said, "Listen, my country has to survive. You're now trying to pay your taxes. Those people behind the gates, they're shouting, oh, this prime minister is bold enough to not do what every other prime minister was doing. Mm. He has to fix a country. And as the leader of this great nation, every great leader of the nation, nobody wants to see his nation sink on his watch. Hence why the status quo is being changed. And this has nothing to do with, as the leader, I have to look and see what is best for the people in the community. I know what it is to be blacklisted because who they think I'm affiliated with. But here it is, I am going to say today, I'm not afraid to say, I love Philip Edward Brave Davis. Mm. That's a man in my own heart. That's the new Pitlin. Because he's not afraid to engage the people. This is not, in my next term, I'm going to take care of the poor people. No.
Ooh, that's menacing.
Oh, we're not going to call them.
Why you do that?
So my thing is, Graham Davis believes in here and now. You know, change the status quo now. Help the Bayman people now. Take care of the Bayman people now.
Oh, that's Jackie, man. You make me laugh just now.
No, but it is what it is, man.
In time. I sit down and I was drinking one beer. So, man, I was listening. I said, boy, here we go again. When they had a man say, you know, next time I get elected, I'm gonna take care of the people. My voice make me a hot because I don't know who was giving him the information that he was doing such a great job. You know, kudos to him for being elected as the prime minister. But you got to have the people.
I let bury the woman dog, and then you know you got people you locking up for selling coconut and grains and pump, you know, for essentials to live, to survive. Now if they go there and rob you, quick to jail them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if they find a way to survive, but then, you know, on the flip side of that, there are rules that are supposed to be followed.
And then you talk about the gas station, why?
The gas station.
They spot a gas station and all that stuff. Then Toogie and Bobo say they come there to bring up some fish.
Well, I get into that part. Well, see, my thing is.
But I guess I say, as a leader, these the things that.
Well, let me
read you the lines.
Let me straighten that piece out.
Okay.
It was only one of them, not the two. So it wasn't Bobo.
All right. Okay. I just saying, but they going to carry fish and me. And see, this is tense.
One of them.
Okay.
Yeah, but because they.
Yeah.
It's always be
so
together.
Them two together. So people say the two. Right. My apologies. And then, see, people read through the lines. See,
course,
when you say these things to them, we don't know what you're trying to say to us. That's just like a slap in the face. Like you're telling us the thing I'm going to MIA going missing, or the government, or the prime office of the prime minister. When you could say something like that, memorandum of understanding, right? Go missing or the office of the prime minister. When we know there's Xerox copy, we know that if anything signed, you know that there's gonna be an actual copy. So there's none could go missing or the office of the prime minister. You know what I mean? None could go missing. No, how could go missing?
Too much.
How?
Listen, so, paper don't. It is authorized.
And these things that we automatically know. Because even me, if I was reading someone's yard and they say, wow, Scoochie, how much you charge me to do the yard? I say, well, okay, I charge you $60. I say, well, okay, when we finish, I'm going to sign this yard. So you sign on this piece of paper, and I can sign on this piece of paper. So even me could keep a receipt. I can keep a backup receipt. So all these things, like, read through the lines.
And the reason why I'm spreading this information, because I want people to know that This prime minister cares about people, you know what I mean? And he cares about the small man. And whether we believe it or not, he's put the people in place to take care of these exact things. Watch this, the abandoned homes, the throwaways, the cleaning of vacant properties, all of the above. You know, the good chairman of Beaches and Parks, he's doing an excellent job of giving, you know, tourists are now, tourists are now moving beyond certain points.
They're over the hill now.
So now
you see them there, right down Wolf Road?
That's my point.
Coming straight down East Street, coming straight down Market Street.
The good thing about that is people ain't harassing
no,
them.
No, people. Listen, I just want to say this.
Go ahead.
You know, you know better than this. Ain't no behavior with no right thinking mind is going to cost no tourists in the inner city community. You could forget about it, all right? Because I guarantee you the community is going to be up on you.
Oh, no, community.
See, if you don't play that.
The majority of the community is going to come clamp down on you. You ain't got to worry about that. For me, I automatically go into security mood when I see one walking. Because it's a rare sighting. But now, we are creating something, a safe zone over the hill. You can see hundreds of tourists over the hill, and guess what? The 20,000 would stand on the ship.
Someone come over.
Stones start coming overnight. Over the hill, and these businesses over the hill and small business people can now set up their little snow cone
kind of corner.
And sell. That is going to create another platform for business. So this tourism minister, I got to give it to him.
And you know, Chester Cooper, I talk with him, I admire him because we're in the same field, you know, but I just want you to know this. This program that was done in 2013 under the Christie and Davis administration, this details all of that in 2013. All the above you're talking about, we already do all the planning in 2013. You know what I'm doing now around in the city community?
What is that?
I'm doing the same program at the Urban Design Lab. That the government.
You have to remember, you have insight so that When you open your mind to your creative juices start and your creative juices start flowing, because you have insight and you're there, it's easier for you to create something from the inside out.
That's right.
And that's why it's so important for you to bring this program to the forefront to make sure the Nassau Urban Lab is successful.
Yes. It's supposed to be a pilot project for the whole entire country. It was done under the Progressive Liberal Party when the Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis became Prime Minister. He switched it from the Urban Design Lab and called it the Over the Hill Initiative. He dismantled the program, okay? But me, as a private citizen who concerned with the community, who has a plan for his particular community and other parts of the country as well. But first, a man has to be able to build his stronghold before you go build someone else's stronghold. But I give you the information how other guys, other community leaders could go and strategize their community and see how they can make it a vibrant community for those less fortunate who looking for an opportunity but don't know how to get this opportunity. But if you have a leader who can look around the community and find the right partners to create an atmosphere for the guests or some type of business venture that could benefit that particular part of the community, it's going to change the directory on how people think, how people act, okay? It's going to change the mindset where they start to say, hey, what? I see I can build a strong family structure here. I have some good money coming in. I can make better decisions. I can make better choices. And that's what you want to see happen in this country.
And, you know, again, why it's so important to partner with the government is because the government has to go ahead to do most things. They have the ability, they have the access, they have the funding, you know, in most cases. And other than that, we community leaders are responsible for creating an atmosphere where our community can thrive. And again, my message to the inner city people, the government isn't responsible for inner city crime. They're not responsible for pay. The government is there to create avenues for us to be comfortable enough to live in the country that we call home. You know, they're there to assist us when they can, but we as a community are responsible for whatever goes on in our community. And we have to stand up and fight for a better community. So we have to do this together. This cannot be just the mindset of someone who's been down in the trenches, tearing the community to hand at one point and decided that now it's time to build up their great community. In my community, we've had three prime ministers, Perry Christie, Sir Lyndon Pidlin, Philip Braid Davis. We've had a minister of health, Dr. Darbo. Mm-hmm. We've had a minister of national security. Mm-hmm. We've had two ministers of health, Dr. Darbo and Dr. Bernard Nottage. Mm. We've had a minister of national security, Kendall Nottage. Mm-hmm. Right on the end of Lifebuoy Street, which is now John Chipman Street, that two-story building. Downstairs, was their Ms. Nottage's pharmacy upstairs was their living residence. So the amount of prominent people that come from your area and my area, these areas are historical areas, and these are some of the histories that should be taught in school. Not Christopher Columbus landed here because he didn't. Anyhow, that's another story for another day. But we are teaching children the wrong things.
Yeah.
Create programs for these children. Create for those teens coming out of school. Put them in positions where they can go to BTVI, the training agency. They train them how to be bartenders, how to be waiters, all of the above. And guess what? These are, believe it or not, these are jobs making $800 to $1,200 a week, sometimes more. Get yourself hands-on. You don't have to be the smartest runner. You don't have to be the brightest light in. But remember, you can make a difference. You put your mind to it because great things happen in our communities, your community and mine. And because of stand-up people like yourself and myself, our communities will continue to thrive.
Yeah, we're making a lot of progress in Grandstand, you know. And I think that if we continue, you know, and if we continue, we're going to see progress. You know, a lot of the kids now have gone off to school. A lot of kids now have learned some type of educational program, doing very well. Some has gotten scholarship. They're not roaming around the streets like how the kids would be roaming around in the inner city community, because the center harnessed most of them, and they're so preoccupied now where they'd be tired times they finish with the community center. We also have a new one. We have two new community centers also be built. One is on Bay Street, and one is going to be on Hay Street.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. As a pillar in that community, are you a driving force, a part of the team making it happen in both of those community centers?
Of course.
Why do you deem it necessary for those community centers?
Because you talked to a BTVI. Where's that?
That's the training, that's a, where it's located?
Yeah, where it's located.
It's located on Old Trail Road.
Do you believe most of the kids and people from that community can be able to get out there? Even though they have some free programs and this and that. Do you think, even if that's free, do you think most people from the inner city community that we reside in?
Most don't have transportation. Sometimes most can't find $1.50 to catch a bus.
Nah, my point exactly.
So, it's
too far.
The struggle in the inner city is real.
So now you see why the center's there?
You put a 360 on me, but there you go.
The center's there because I know it's out of reach. I know that the people don't want bus money.
You're bringing these entities to the core outside so that your community, everything in your community is walking distance.
So you don't have no excuse. So when a small business starts in the community, so if there's some bad apples in the community, right, who lives in Lewis Street, A Street, and Taylor Street, as the community starts to develop with a new generation getting opportunities, and then we start the small business development in the community as we get to know one another better, right? The bad apples that exist in the community, they'll be easy to root out because now we have people who are doing positive programs.
They won't have anybody to attract. All right, bad apples are like a magnet.
There you go.
Everything around them is drawn to them.
Yes.
So you're creating programs for the kids. They don't have the next generation. Who doing all the murders and all of the robberies and everything, all the shootings and all of the gang activities? High school kids.
Mm-hmm. Shaggy Chipman is a community leader. He has information working with the Office of the Prime Minister. He talks to the man on the road. He talks to the Prime Minister and says, Mr. Prime Minister, I see there's an abandoned yard that, you know, I think we could turn it to something feasible for the community. I think we could put a barber shop here. I think we could put a hair braiding shop. I think we could put a small kitchen around the corner there for 10 people. Would you think you'd be able to assist me with a small business directly in my particular community so that residents in the community who are serious, who are committed, you know, because we don't want people to come and think it's going to be hands outing and that you are entitled. Yeah, you might be entitled to small business, but you're going to have to qualify yourself. You're going to have to do the proper training and go through the proper screening. And then when you get your little $5,000, $10,000, Shaggy is going to assist you with money management, getting your bank, if you don't have no papers or whatever situations or no business license and stuff like that. with the information you receive from the small business department, he will be able to put on the people in the community who are serious and committed towards bettering their community.
Of course. My goal is to get as much information, and you're absolutely right because you brought a point up that was valid. They can come to me and I can direct them and in the right direction. Hence the reason why I go and sit in meetings at National Security.
Mm-hmm.
I go and sit in labor meetings and in mm-hmm. labor meetings and public service meetings so that I can know what's going on, so that I can disseminate proper information. I go and sit in meetings at agriculture because I want to know what Minister Jumo Campbell is doing. Hence that we can do things that create... Seniors love to do... They're retired.
They want to do some stuff.
They want to do things, and guess what? Who can be better green thumbs than them?
So backyard farming.
Backyard farming. Yes. Kids. Right now, Minister Jumo Campbell is starting almost... the foundation is up for his community center, and it's proper things are happening in that zone. This man is working. So I am so excited about the movements. No, this government isn't perfect.
No, but they could be stronger if they did with hands on people on the ground. So, who are committed to the cause and have great ideas.
That's the reason why I partner with them to, I don't want to work the government. I want to work along with the government. So my thing is, I need to know what they're doing so that I can say that to the people. When they say, oh, this government ain't doing nothing, I said, no, you can't say that. This government is working feverishly with what they have. Mm-hmm. When you give a man a plate of food, you give him a chicken and rice, he got to eat that. You can't watch the man with got pear, mm-hmm. plantain, corn, chicken and rice. Mm-hmm. You have to take what you get and make that work.
Yeah, we have to take the small business to the people.
And by taking the small business to the people, well, now here's the key. We need to weed those out that are serious about...
That's why I say serious about it.
About...
And find them a spot. And develop the spot.
Create something.
And keep on
maintaining
profit margin and et cetera.
We have to put in the minds of the people, when we have functions in these inner cities...
Come to it.
Not only to come out, but we have to put words on... Listen, tourists are now coming over the hill. It's our responsibility
to make our
economy... Make sure that they're protected, and in return, by them saying that they walk, I walk all the way to Robinson Road just because I wanted to see what was going on. Now, you're going to have hundreds of tourists flocking over the hill, and that's going to create a whole new economy for the country.
And millions.
Millions of dollars are going to now flow
directly,
over the hill.
Directly, and it changes everything we do in the country. We're going to take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Accordingly, this is Stock Universe along with you and your guest, Scooch.
Good night.
Raymond here. We need justice, law, and order in this country, the Bahamas. Scooch, I wanna make a comment, but I want to ask you a question first. Because my mind was on this brother. I haven't seen him for a little while. Lyrics. What's happening with him?
Lyrics, right there on the corner.
You still there?
Yeah, my uncle right there.
I don't see him.
Yeah, you're right there. He calm down now. I know what's going on. He calm down now. He still is being in the wheelchair. He ain't so mad.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, I know he has other wheelchair. Yeah. You don't take good care of him.
Yes, sir.
But my comment is, right, I don't think you should encourage people that if you see a property that go on, establish, places on it, because you don't know why it's there empty, and not only that, a person had bought that piece of property. Don't care where you see a piece of property in the neighborhood, somebody paid their money for that. And you must always remember, they have family to the family islands, or they might have family who doesn't have the money to really develop it as yet. You see, when you can do things as such, like just take people property and things like that, you're going to take the country right back to way back then. Mm. To way back then. Let me show you something. When I became a youngster, right, my late teens, I worked on hotels, seawalls, church, school, houses, I was on the maintenance staff, mm-hmm. at a Paradise Island. And I left and went to Miami to work. And when I came back, I got a job billing College of the Bahamas. I got blind when I was walking to the police station on East Street, putting those steps there to go up in the headquarters.
Yes, sir.
Okay? My point is, even though I can't see, I don't believe in taking people's things, and I don't believe in putting this country way back there. Okay? We got to encourage our people to get an education, get a job, you know, and become their own entrepreneur. But not to take people's things. That's not good. It's indecent and it's dangerous. And it's called stealing, really.
Okay.
And your brother doing a good job.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll give my little comment. That's just my comment I'm going to say to this. From I know myself, right, I've seen properties in these inner-city communities. I've been living in Grandstand now, granted, 50 years. Raymond is a resident of Grandstand, okay? The properties that I've been cleaning around, eh? The properties that I've been cleaning for the last, say, 15, 20 years in Grandstand, I've not seen one property owner or host in that community that we either took down. Houses that girls got raped in. Houses that young guys were having sex with young girls where we made reports. As a community leader to avoid going on people's property to try and make it a safe spot for the community. Many of these properties that we see in the community, they are family members who don't get on who don't get along with one another. They have lived these properties there for over 40 years, brothers and sisters. Right? Intentions are coming back in the community. They leave these properties with these abandoned houses and never come in the community, never clean them down. Now, the community is responsible also for churning the garbage and putting abandoned cars there. But if the property owners who so-called own these properties, they should not leave their property vacant. They should make a presence that if it's in the community, that on a monthly basis, that the property be kept clean, that if there's a house on it, that make sure the house is fixed properly, that the house has proper security, like doors and windows, so that no one can go inside these houses. And like, I'm going to say this again, your property is that families have been owning for over 50 years in these communities, and not one family member has stepped foot in the community to try and make a change or difference with the property.
And hence the reason why there's a thing called due diligence. You understand? And as a community leader,
Think I'm going to let the wholesome stay there?
You can identify those houses because once, you know, it's not only a neighborhood issue to have an abandoned house there. It's a health issue.
Rats, roaches,
rodents. I mean, straight across the board, even snakes in some cases.
What can happen to Bass Creek?
You understand me? So now
it's a chance to make a difference.
You have to protect your community. There are people that lived in those properties that has died off and don't have any family members, and the property's sitting there vacant, and the criminal's using it. You understand me? So you take away what they have, and they have less things to hide their drugs and guns and all these things and tear up the community.
Create something positive.
Put a garden there. What do you think is happening? People are now recognizing these vacant lots and doing their due diligence, going to lands and survey, finding out if there's anybody on it. Sometimes people are taking care of these properties for 10, 15, 20 years, yes. You know what happens? You then acquire that property underneath
the acquired. So where the one is, now I'm not saying you're supposed to take it. So if someone is on your property, that is your property in the inner city community, and this person being claimed as property for 15 years, you was the one, where have you been?
As a matter of fact, they could be fined for that.
And they're supposed to be fined.
Someone in the community, as a community leader, keeping the community
clean. I've been doing this.
And using the community for something, using the property for something good.
Useful.
Useful for putting the community center on the property, backyard farmer, you know, taking it away from.
Even you could question this from the poison, you could find out the details because the government said they're looking to go and look around in the city community. What the minister want. He's saying that this is part of the government agenda. This is the idea I put forward in 2013, but the same already designed lab because I saw abandoned houses. I said, I was carrying the students from Vienna, Austria. I said, what if this year they're trying in a cosmetology shop or a barber shop or a convenience store or a souvenir store?
Listen, people are now, and I realize personal business growth with people from the inner city. People are now selling clothing.
Yes.
People are now selling goods. They're now selling hair. And imagine, people are now becoming their own business owners.
And you see,
entrepreneurs.
And you see, in properties, it's where the guys are run through when they're running from the police, or they got a gun to slash. Do you see Moses with Bremen's talk? But I know he's not saying nothing wrong. But we're saying to him that some of these properties have been there for 40 years. We have family members who have done nothing with it. It's been a sore eye to the community, being a dangerous thing for the community. And still then, you are family members, and so, people who own this property don't care about the property at all and leave it there for the community. And the thing is, they're not living in the area. They're not living in the area. So what you going to do about that? And then government says they have a plan now. As to say, they're going to purchase a property, turning a low-cost home for somebody. That means they're not going to take the property. They're going to find out who owns it. And if they have not done nothing with it in about 7 years, they purchase it and turn it into something.
Save the government, because there's hundreds of properties
in this country
that can be changed and put, and that can work well with housing.
Some could be nursery and all. At-risk kids, when mothers need places to put their kids, that could turn it into a nursery.
We have to create these programs.
We have to create the programs. So, yes.
If you and I are not there to be the think tank for the inner city, then the government can't come from over there looking over there trying to figure out what's going on.
Here we know.
I can tell you something. Underneath the previous government, as a community leader, I was invited. You were invited as well.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, gave them the rundown on everything needed for the inner city to function like a well-oiled machine.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I was put on a blacklist.
You want to see, I tell you? We have the whole book right here. You just like you, 2013, $1.5 million. IDB Bank and the Office of the Prime Minister plans for the country. Then in 2013.
He has a layout. He's not talking. He has, you know, people get to put a... No, that man has a complete program
design
put together. But you can see that's visual. That's your visual smarts. You know what? But because it's him, that's not nothing they want to do. You understand me? I was put on a blacklist. So I couldn't. I and you know what I begged them to do? I said, listen, I don't want, since I know I ain't going to get nothing from y'all to do. You know what I mean? I am good with that. Just allow me to get the people. As a community leader, allow me to bring the people to y'all program. They did just that, and I was happy to do that.
And to Brayman's thing, how you talking about the people property? All these people who say they get these properties, you people, y'all go to your property, and y'all go fix up your property. Y'all
go
clean
and
your
clean
property,
it
fix
down.
Your house, go and clean it down. Don't come talk about no 30 years, y'all.
The minute someone go and clean it down,
no.
Then y'all fine. Y'all be trying to figure out what's going on. Y'all
that,
are not taking care. Y'all are going to be fine, because guess what? We need them to keep these properties clean, because once they're clean, people won't dump on them.
That's right. And I'm going to say this. We don't want nothing in this earth. Everything that we came here is what God gave us. And God bless us with these property and land. Yeah. He gave us the land of milk and honey. When Bemis came here, he gave us this land. You understand? So we ain't taking nothing with us when we're dead. We could take this one call. We could take this one call. Call you. We could get you on real quick, because we're completely out of time. So we want to get you, get to see what you have to say.
Yeah, Scrooge.
Hey.
I'm living on my premises, right?
Mm-hmm.
People breaks it down, throws garbage on my porch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people just nasty.
But
you think I would, if I could have seen, I would be in. I wouldn't even have time to do foolishness like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been working someplace, making an honest living. And most people would have dirty mind. Or believe in getting things free. They don't believe in an honest living. Just like how a guy would hide a gun in an old house.
And sell drugs.
Someplace,
and have sex with young teenage girls who go into school.
We have to be
sell drugs, and also the school girls when they
way
to schools.
Is,
that's where they're grabbing the school girls and have sex with them.
Yeah,
and I'm saying abandon houses.
People who does that. And let's get back to the school girls first before I finish. Children should brought up. Their children should be bringing up their children in the proper manner. Let me show you something.
Got to hurry go. We got to hurry go.
Blind.
Yeah, I got to hurry
51
go.
51 years. So that would tell you something. I've been all over this little Nassau.
Yes, sir.
And I still could walk over this little Nassau freely. And most people would see me and say, Brayman. You know, or Brayman. Blind
yes,
man. Would say, you know, I see for a long time and stuff like that. Any place here in Nassau. The thing is, You got to want to be decent and do the decent thing.
That's
when
why
I sometimes my mind is go back. When I was young, I said, glad my old lady and old man used to make sure we go to Sunday school. And I used to shine shoe at that time, right on the cinema. I go shine on Sunday morning and go back home to go to Sunday school.
Well, I say thank you very much. Like I said, you know, this thing, we want to develop the community. We have a lot of abandoned houses in the community that family members are not doing nothing with. The licenses, what you call A, B, and B, they can be turning into what you call places where you can come up with creative ideas. We need nurseries. You know, we have mothers in the inner city.
The government looking for places to place.
We have nurseries.
Mothers and nurseries.
And we have a lot.
My thing is, you got, real quick, on the end of my corner, you have a prominent
house. A two-story.
A judge. No, yeah. Not that. There's some houses on the end of my corner. Mm-hmm. It's bush, junk, dirt, dump, everything. There was a gentleman, he stayed in one of them. They're already old and run down now.
Yeah,
he stayed in them. He cleaned up the yard. He do everything. You know, the owner came. She came and she put him out of it.
Because he's cleaning it up.
You understand?
And what happened after
that? The houses are falling down.
Now because he's gone.
No, but they were falling down when he was there, but he needed a place to stay. So he's keeping the place clean. But she's still turning around and running from the property.
Now it's full of garbage.
Now the property is being dumped on. It's full of garbage. It's abandoned buildings. Rodents, rats, roaches.
Anyone who get any guns would know where to put right now.
They're selling drugs from there.
Okay. And that's what's going on.
But, you know.
You understand? And we got time here. If you want to be creative and take away the sore eyes and the things that are causing the country, the community problem, you have to look at these things. You know, it's not about taking on one property. Like I said, if we could turn it into something constructive, if you own the property and you don't want to do nothing with it and we feel it could be something constructive, we could buy it. Government says they want to buy it and go with either what the community leaders say or whatever, whoever in that particular area has some kind of creative idea, they want to go for it. And they were talking about small business and they're talking about at-risk mom, single parents mom home, and they also talking, one other thing they're talking about, small business, at-risk mom, and one other thing they said they wanted to do. Well, basically that's it right there. But the overall strategy of this is to make sure that the community has no sore eye and take away the excess from it.
Yeah, the green, keeping the communities green, green, and pristine. And again, once again, two things I want to make real quick. As long as the government is looking out for the small man, I can work along with that government. Mm-hmm. But again, I want to thank the current prime minister for being bold enough for creating those gray areas that people took advantage of, you know, the hotels that didn't pay taxes, fighting the GBPA for the people of Freeport now. All those people that fought this government down, now they see what's happening. They're putting up their rates, and now they're coming to the government, yet they were pushing the government away from making the Grand Bahama Port Authority pay their bills, making Lightfoot Key pay their bills. Those were leakages in taxes that could help us pay our bills. If we don't get them, then we're going to have to suffer the burden of paying those bills. You understand what I'm saying? That's so taxes are going to raise on us. But I want to thank this government. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to work alongside you today, to say thank you to these great organizations, to these great leaders. And thank you once again, man.
It's my pleasure, Shaggy.
Yeah, man. Can't thank you enough.
You're doing a wonderful job. And I want to say to each and every one of you, everything we do, basically, is to help improve the conditions of the Bahamian society. Like I said, 2013, there's a whole plan, NASA Urban Design Lab, that deals with empowering the people on the way forward. I'd just like to say to each and every one of you who listen to the show, the show is for you guys. You could call in any time and listen. And we always talk about solution. And I always bring people who are doing great, great community work on this show. I want you who take this Friday evening to Friday night to listen to Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio. And I hope you enjoy the show. And we hope to see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. Drive safe, okay?
Don't take no matter, no driver, no joke. If you find fire, you're yourself in the fight for Bitan, bro. Where I from Bitan, bro.
Paint on, I say up and running. Caliban say my shovel don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. True they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season, season. Godless, I go weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people I from. Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.